What's up, y'all? Before we dive into today's episode, we just wanted to give y'all a heads up that we're going to be discussing some heavy topics related to rape and sexual assault. We understand that this can be a very sensitive and triggering subject for some listeners, so if you're feeling uneasy about it, we completely understand. If you need to step away and catch us on the next episode, so please take care of yourself first and foremost. Snowfall Season 6, Episode 6, Concrete Jungle is over, but we are just getting started here on The Connect on PSR. Normally, I'd give you the whole rundown of how we the plug here on PSR, but today, we are in mourning. And this podcast is dedicated to the life and memory of Jerome Saint, one of my favorite television characters of all time. And with me at this time of bereavement, Latanya Starks. Latanya, how you holding up?
I'm not doing well. I'm wearing black right now.
And a veil. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's a hoodie.
Oh, okay, close still, enough. Yeah.
I'm in mourning. I honestly expected for Unk to die last episode. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't surprised that he died this episode. Making it even less surprising is the fact that Twitter has zero chill. So you know, everybody was already talking about it before I had a chance to even watch the episode.
Sadly,
which I love.
Right. Like, that sucks.
Yeah. But I mean, this is how we know we're in the end game, because we are losing legacy characters. Like season one, episode one, this was one of the first characters that we've met. And now he's gone. And it's really sad. And the circumstances under which he died were tragic and disgusting and horrible. And yeah, it just really hurts. It sucks.
Yeah. And I had the same exact experience as you. Like, again, you had to know Jerome was going to die.
Yeah.
But I didn't know when. And so I wasn't ready for it to happen. But I too got on Twitter. And I saw a damn obituary that people made, because Twitter has no chill. And there was no, it didn't say Snowfall on it. It didn't say the hashtag went on there. So I have all those things muted. Not good enough. These black folk then made a damn fake obituary to commemorate the life of Jerome.
Not a faux obituary.
Yeah, a faux obituary. And that sounds, somehow that sounds like a derogatory term, no?
Until I said it, I didn't know.
It sounds like a loquacious whole term. So all that to say, yeah, I was spoiled. And so watching the episodes, kind of waiting on the ball to drop.
Yeah,
but we, Mari and I, on episode 3, the one where Leon is in Africa, mm-hmm. at the end of the episode, we definitely, or the podcast, we definitely did kind of like, not a death draft.
But close enough.
Well, we just kind of did one of those, like, are they going to die? Are they not going to die? Uh-huh. Are they going to jail type situations? And, of course, we called it, Jerome is dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember when I asked Mari the question, I was like, okay, how do you think things are going to turn out for Jerome? And she immediately said, dead. She was like, there's no question about it. We knew this was going to happen. And somehow, Latanya, it still hurts.
It still hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sad for all of the reasons that I said before, because this is a character that we've really gotten to know intimately. And I thought that the wedding episode was one of the most inventive episodes of television that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But really just like, to celebrate the love of two characters that I swore were already married.
it's a hood marriage, you know.
Exactly. but it was just so nice seeing like a softer side of him, and then seeing them in the hotel together and all that. And then just kind of seeing how last episode he just gave up basically and said that he was out of the game. And I thought that he was going to get killed during doing the drop. I hadn't realized that the timeline for attacking the stables was so quick.
Yeah.
But it only makes sense that he goes out protecting who he loves. And,
right.
You know, that's Louis.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get sad again, man. You're right. Jerome went out like a G, I guess, if you will. But I mean, sometimes You wonder if cooler heads could prevail and then you live to fight another day. But we can talk about that much later. If you are listening to this, you already know the deal. So we didn't have any problem, you know, doing a little spoiler at the front, because we didn't want to bury the lead too much. Yeah. But before we get to the repass, LaTanya, I just want to let all the listeners know you have to subscribe to Snowfall on the PSR Connect or post your recaps to keep up with our content every week. And please leave us your 5-star reviews as well as your thoughts and prayers on Apple Podcasts so that more people can find the podcast and give this pod some exposure. And speaking of finding the pod, we do have a praise report here at the repass, okay? We had a funeral, and now it's a celebration because we find out that there is a very famous member of the We Got Y'all crew. And LaTanya, do you want to do the honors or should I?
I think you should because you're the host.
Well, we are the host. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that.
We are hosts.
Us is hosts.
Yeah. No, I would like to hear all about this famous member of the We Got Y'all crew.
Yeah, so I was minding my own business at work, you know, working.
Like always.
I be doing, you know. And I was just thinking, you know, maybe I should check Twitter. You know, I don't do this often at work, but nope. Maybe this time I should check Twitter.
As a treat.
Just once. You know, it's not going to hurt anybody. Let's just take a little peek, you know. And I saw I had a bunch of notifications. Now, just to give you a little backstory, Mari and I had realized that we got followed a few days ago, and we kind of like text each other, like, Riggs Morales, why is this like recording executive tech like following us? What did we do? And Mari thought, I can't remember what Mari thought it was about, but I said, maybe he listens to Snowfall. Wouldn't that be crazy? And it turns out that he does listen to Snowfall. And he dedicated a whole thread to talking about how great we are for doing this podcast, because there's a lot of like bigger podcasts that don't even touch on it.
Not at all.
Yeah. And we're doing a great job. We got the seal of approval. So
we did. I'm the third, by the way. Hi, I'm LaTanya.
Yes, LaTanya.
I get third. I haven't been here that often.
Yes, but you're the second today, or we're both the first today. Both first. Thank you, Riggs Morales, legendary music exec, for that crazy endorsement. It was just wild, LaTanya. How did you feel when you saw it?
Well, Riggs, you can follow me on Twitter at LKSmart. When I saw that, I was just like, nah. Because, well, let me set the scene. Mm-hmm. I was in hour 3 of a 5-hour lunch. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really comprehending many things by this point.
Oh, liquid lunch.
Well, there was food. As like an accoutrement.
Yeah, on the side.
But there were definitely some liquids involved, water and other liquids. Yeah. And so I saw this and I was like, oh, that's so sweet. This like nice fan is talking.
Oh, so now we got fans.
Right. It's talking about the Snowfall podcast. That's so great. And then I looked at who it was and I was like, oh, no, this is amazing.
It's like the look of horror on your face when you're like, wait, somebody hears us and might have something to say about what we're doing. Dear God, the pressure, you know?
The pressure. Because if they tell you you're doing a good job, you figure, okay, maybe I just keep doing what I'm doing and they'll continue to enjoy it. But just knowing that there are certain people out there that, you know, are affiliated with the shows or in the entertainment industry that actually listen to this podcast is wild to me, and I will try to forget it every second that I can because it's just too much pressure.
Well, you know, this is not the first time somebody has located us. what are we doing right? Because maybe it's just the SEO. But, you know, when we were talking about Atlanta, was it Ibra Ake messaged us or DM'd me about the show and all this other stuff. I'm like, Don't you write this show? Why are you talking to me about it? You tell me what I'm supposed to say. And so, yes, we are in good company. The We Got Y'all crew has a few famous listeners, and I'm thoroughly enjoying, you know, having them, you know, I guess looking out for us and endorsing us, you know, so that's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and I mean, not to get out of line, but if the creator of the Grammys Black Music Collective wants to listen to our podcast and publicly endorse us, then I say hit us up because we can be bought. And we love to talk.
Seriously.
We love to talk. So are you N-Words hiring? Because we'll come.
Are you hiring specifically right now? then please do let us know. If you enjoy listening to us now, imagine how much more you enjoy listening to us with money backing us.
On your payroll, doing the shows that you want to hear. You will never have to deal with that again. So just throwing that out there, we can be bought.
Can and have, and will be again.
Right. So, all right. Housekeeping and shamelessly asking for a job aside, we do have to talk about the episode of Snowfall right after a word from our sponsors.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
If we had, you know, somebody backing us, we wouldn't need a word from a sponsor. I'm just saying. So anyway, the episode starts with Teddy reaching out to Julia to warn her that she could be in danger. Now, of course, we know that Julia is baby mama or ex-wife or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, remember Julia?
No.
Exactly.
So where did they find her? So last episode, we saw Franklin murder Teddy's daddy in cold blood with Teddy on the phone, basically listening to the whole thing go down. And Franklin did assure Teddy that his baby mama and child could be next. So Julia has no choice but to pack it up and leave. And LaTanya, I love that when she heard that, she immediately got up to pack up and leave. She was like, okay, bye.
Yeah. You know? She was like, all right, that's all the information I need from you.
Yeah.
You tell me that my child and I are in trouble and that the police are coming to escort us to a safe house. All right. Thanks a lot. I'm done talking to you now.
Exactly. And, you know, it's wild because we've seen other characters offered similar proposals to this. We can hide you. I'm thinking Ziomara or, you know, all these other people who've been like, we can give you safe haven. And they're always like, no, I want to stay. Sissy, you need to go hiding. I can't. I can't. It's not worth it. It's,
yeah. Come on, Parisa. Why don't you go? No, I love my home.
Like, okay, I'm getting in the car.
Just make sure that all these people are legit that are coming to pick me up and won't tell anybody where I am. I am out.
Yeah, and so I hope that's the last. That might be the last we see of Julia, quite frankly.
I think that's it.
Yeah, so Teddy has the number Franklin used to call him, but as we know, Franklin already burned it to the ground. But now he's under surveillance and he's pissed Teddy off. And although Teddy won't admit he's grieving the loss of his dad, it does seem like he is for sure. You know, it's like that you have a bond to that person. Even people who like been in like have abusive parents and stuff like that, they find it really hard. Yeah, really hard to separate yourself from those that, you know, that feeling that you have when you think about your relationship with that person. And so Teddy might have been estranged from his dad a little bit, but I highly doubt he wanted to hear of him get shot in the head.
He got a box cutter to the neck.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Another person got shot in the head.
Sorry.
Mistake.
No, nobody wants to hear their parent bleed out over the phone. That's just a truism of life that I abide by. But also, you know, even the CIA agent who I don't know if we ever got a name for him, is saying,
oh, I knew it, but I don't care.
Said that, to Teddy, you know, especially if you have a complicated relationship with your parent, when they die, things, a lot of stuff comes up. A lot of that trauma comes up, a lot of longing to have fixed the bond, thinking that you had more time. Just all of this stuff comes up for you whenever a relative dies, period. But then you add a complicated relationship to that, and you add to the fact that that's your father, and that it's also essentially your fault in a way.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That's going to mess you up. That's going to leave you in the fetal position in Parise's bed having nightmares, which is what we see of Teddy this week.
Yeah. We get a lot of, like, I guess Teddy really sitting and contemplating what is going on. He's in deep depression. You can tell he's not well. But I mean, to think about it, his brother died because of him. And now his dad died because of him. It's just like, Teddy, you like the Grim Reaper, baby.
Seriously. Like, yeah. I'm afraid for everybody he knows and loves or has ever met, honestly, because it's just bad at this point.
Yeah, I'm afraid for everybody except Julia, because I know she's not coming
back.
She's gone. So Teddy makes a stop over at Ruben's house looking for him. He calls Ruben by his government name. You know, he said, Ben.
I
was like, oh my God, who is that? So Ruben opens the door and he knows this is bad news. How did Teddy find him? He's got the gun. But Teddy quickly talks himself into the room and also talks Ruben into making him some coffee. That was such a flex.
So there are so many power moves that happen in this scene on Teddy's part. Showing up there empty-handed, first of all, and being like, you making coffee? Not even, I thought like he could smell coffee.
No. Nope. He said, just like, when are you going to make my coffee?
When are you making my coffee, bitch? And then he sits down at his table where all his classified documents are and just kind of puts his hands up and has a very frank conversation with him about how he probably should run and forget that this operation ever existed if he doesn't want the KGB to find out that he's gay. Drinks the coffee and is like, this is delicious. And then just gets up and leaves.
This man is a villain. That's a villain you, okay?
Yes.
I think it would hit harder if we didn't see him in his distraught moments, because they really humanize him when those moments happen. Because if all we got was this scene, I'd be like, Teddy's a bad motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But you're 100% correct. I mean, he tells Ruben that Ruben doesn't really have a choice. Either you go and tell your people that you messed this up, it's not me that you're looking for, I'm not doing those crimes, or I'm going to let it slip that you've been doing some stuff. And it's so funny, because he's like, you know, you could tell them that I've been selling crack, but ain't you gay though? And I was like,
it's really bad.
He said, let's all worry about ourselves. How about we speak in front of our own porches?
And he was just like, if you're still here, then I'll know that you didn't pay any attention to me. But if you slip our surveillance and manage to get away, then I'll know that our talk got through to you. And I was just like, this is an emotional terrorist. Like, this man is he's a one man problem.
Yeah. He draws the line in the sand very quickly. He says, and it's so player. He's like, you know, take whatever you can and tell your little boo with his size 10 shoes that are in your closet that that you got to go.
Whoever they are, whoever they belong to.
He was like, just to let you know, I was in your closet. You know what I'm saying?
In case you didn't notice by the fact that it was open way more than it normally was supposed to be.
Right.
I have been in there before into your closet. And I will make sure that you are out of the closet unless you do exactly what I say.
Yeah, a lot of closet talk.
A lot of closets.
Yeah, Teddy, I just liked the thought of Teddy sitting in that closet looking at that man's shoes and trying to see what size they were. Because he says your size 10 shoes.
All the other shoes are one size, like an 8 or a 9. And there's one pair of size 10 shoes, then they have to belong to somebody else who's comfortable enough to leave their shoes there.
not to foot shame people, but if you're a grown man with a size 8 shoe, I'm like, sir, come on, get your shoe game up, get your feet, your foot game up, man. When you go step it up,
grow your grown. Feet,
grow your feet, man. I wouldn't tell nobody if I were. Anyway. I wouldn't tell nobody.
I don't know what men's shoe sizes are supposed to be. Look, maybe 8 was shooting low.
Definitely for me, because I wear a size 12 shoe, okay? Definitely not wearing a damn size 8. I was like, tell that size 10 that there's a size 8 in there. So there's a woman been walking around here somewhere.
I think that for charity, it would be good for us to put you in size 8 shoes and make you walk around for a day. So you can understand what it means
to walk a mile in someone's tiny feet shoes. Yes. No,
for charity.
For charity. So yeah, this is dark, and Teddy is depressed, and he's having nightmares, like you said earlier. He can't sleep well until Franklin is dead, and Parisa basically asks him, "Okay, and then what? You know, to what end? What? You just gonna keep stacking your money? That's it? And then I'm just supposed to hide?" And Teddy hits her with another player move. He's like, you're the only bright spot in my life right now, and I'm done giving up things for them. I've lost too much. And she folds like a damn chair.
Well, they have a complicated past themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they knew each other when Teddy was on an op elsewhere, and she was married at the time, but they had some, like, you know, some very pregnant glances kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And we all saw what she did when she operated on him. Mm-hmm. So she's wanted this man for a while now, and she feels like she's getting everything that she wanted. So either she's playing him and he is falling completely into her plan, or she's genuinely happy that he is starting to rely on her and trust her enough to ask her to, like, you know, be his one and only.
Okay, so Parisa was not involved in Mari and I's game. What do you think ends up happening to Parisa? Is she going to be dead, in jail, or happily ever after?
I don't know what's going to happen. I think Parisa's a survivor. Mm. So I can see her having her own version of a happily ever after with or without Teddy.
Yeah, I think if the three options are jail, death, and happily ever after, then that's not going to be too hard.
Yeah,
she'll find a way. Like you said, she's a survivor. The next time we see Teddy, and the last time we see Teddy in this episode, really, is that when he links up with Oso and they discuss the situation. He knows Oso is probably being approached, you know, and so he's kind of just like, huh, what am I supposed to do with this information? So that we don't get any more of Teddy throughout the episode. What do you think? Like, what is he just moping around?
Moping around, probably making plans to try to figure out, because, you know, essentially Franklin is in, like, has gone dark because he can't exactly show up at any of his old haunts right now because he knows that, you know, it's too hot out there on the streets for him. Mm-hmm. So I think that he is probably drinking a lot, maybe doing a little cocaine, and plotting, like, strenuously plotting revenge against Franklin.
Yeah, this is wild because I think Franklin often forgets this, but I do not, that this is the CIA.
Right.
And so I'm always thinking, you know,
technically, because he's not in the CIA, but he has all the resources of the CIA.
He might as well be the CIA. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, Franklin, I feel like this is an uphill battle. You know, like, some of the things you're doing are very lofty. You know, even the murder of Teddy's dad, it's like, you know, the CIA can probably find your entire bloodline. Like, everybody prior to you and their neighbors can all die because of this. Are you seriously doing this right now? And he does.
He does. But on the other hand, Teddy killed his father.
Yep. He started. Kinda.
I mean, if we're talking about killing fathers, then, you know, the one who started it is the one who is responsible.
Yeah. And whoever smelt it, killed it.
Yeah. Teddy was the one that started killing dads. Like, he brought that into the game as a viable move, and now he's upset that his dad got killed.
That part. And sucks for you, Teddy. So, moving on. This scene, LaTanya, was unintentionally funny to me. I don't care. I was dying laughing because I am an idiot. But we see Franklin, Veronique, and Cassandra are about to board this private jet and head back to LA, or at least so they thought. When Franklin ducked off for a minute to go check on Sissy, Cassandra said, all right, Veronique, let's stop the games. We're not getting on this plane. This man is crazy. Like I got your passport. I already lined up everything. It's like the moment she saw Teddy's dad bleed out, she's like,
it's time. Yep. Yeah. I don't blame her. Like, if you watch this more than once, last week's episode, and you go back and you look at the looks on Veronique and what's her mom's name?
Cassandra.
On their faces, they're like, what the hell? Like, because first of all, it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it was so cold-blooded the way he did it. Like, it was just like he was passing by and patting the man on the shoulder. You know what I mean? So I could tell that Cassandra was going to be ready to go. She had those bags taken off that plane, and she was like, baby girl, it is time to get out of here. We will find a place. We always do. We will raise this child together. And I was with her. I was just like, if I saw something like that and I realized that that's the type of monster that my daughter and soon to be grandchild was connected to, then I would get my fake passport and get the hell out of Dodge too.
Yeah. And Cassandra has gotten her fake passport, Veronique's fake passport, the little baby's fake passport. You know, she's got all the things lined up. She's trying to get out of here. And this is definitely the right move because the CIA is after you. Let's just call it what it is. You know, the Teddy aside, he has the backing of like all the resources of the CIA. The fact that y'all could get that plane off the ground without them knowing is just, you know, like super fascinating to me.
Exactly. There's not any place where they can't go or where they don't have people.
Yeah.
The CIA is terrifying.
Uh-huh. And so.
And you just killed like the unhinged CIA guy's dad and let him listen as that man bled out, and you expect me to get on a plane with you?
Absolutely
and go back
not.
To LA? No.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Not on my watch. On my watch. So, yeah, Teddy's unhinged, but Franklin is coming unhinged too. And Cassandra doesn't want to stick around to find out what happens next. So, you know, you got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And her bag was packed. So when Franklin returns, he's just kind of like, huh, well, you know, you ready to go? And Veronique gets to like, no, she's leaving. Like, Cassandra's like, she's coming with me. We're not leaving with you. Sorry, but this is over with. You had a good run.
Right.
And Veronique's like, yeah, no, I'm actually going to stay here. And I was like, this is bird behavior, LaTanya. This is bird behavior. Like, if that's misogyny, that's just what it is. Because she gets the opportunity to go save herself. Now, the option was to go live in Arizona or something like that, and that's not great.
They could have gone anywhere, though.
Yeah, for sure. And she has a choice between the drug game and running scared for the rest of her life. I don't know. That's kind of how she put it, but this was a curious decision for me. Like I said, a little bird behavior, because my issue with this is that Cassandra calls Franklin a monster, and Veronique's response is, he's a monster, but he's not a monster to me. Ma'am.
What?
Ma'am. you're going to be running regardless. And if you think about the bodies and bodies and bodies that Franklin has left in his wake, am I tripping? But he's very much a monster, ma'am, to you and to everybody else around him.
It's a matter of situation, it seems, for Franklin. Like, if things are bad enough, he will also turn on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you believe that you're so special that, I mean, like, his aunt and uncle mean more to him than anybody else in the world besides his mother, right? Yeah. And he is in open war with them right now, has tried to murder them on multiple occasions, has stolen all of their money and product. And you're like, oh, but he won't hurt me. He's never raised a hand to me. He's never yelled at me in anger. And I'm like, what are you talking about, woman? No.
Stand up.
Out of here.
Stand up. God dang. She's whipped. But that's her man, and she gonna stick beside him. But you
for
know
what? Like, what is she even getting out of this? Because it's not like he can run the business anymore, right? They don't have any money. So she can't be a lawyer. She's just sitting in an apartment in an undisclosed location, waiting to give birth.
I don't know. I mean, the alternative is going with her mom, and we can tell by the way Veronique like plays with that idea that that just ain't happening. So
then take your fake passport and go wherever the hell you want and have your baby in peace.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to go with your mama.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. She gets on the plane with Franklin and they head back to L.A. When they get to L.A., he goes directly to Leon to tell him the deal with Teddy and that they, too, are now in danger. But Franklin's plan is to draw Teddy out of hiding so he can kill him, because Franklin's hiding from Teddy. Teddy's hiding from Franklin. At this point, Louis's hiding from Franklin. Franklin's hiding from Louis. You know, everybody's hiding.
Everybody's hiding in the PJs.
Yeah, everybody's hiding, and the safest place for these people is in the projects. Now, that's some beautiful irony for me, LaTanya.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Stacey's like, I can't leave the projects. It's scary out there. I said, yes, ma'am.
It's true. It's the devil you know, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I know what type of dangers there are in the PJs for me. I have no idea what the CIA has or the KGB at this point has waiting for me.
Yeah, so finally Franklin and Oso link up, and then they discuss this whole situation. And he knows that Oso is probably being approached left and right to set him up. It only makes sense. Oso tells Franklin he needs $10 million, because they agreed on $10 million. But we know Franklin is a broke boy for all intents and purposes. Like, I mean, he can get $1 million, so I guess he way less broke than I am.
Listen, but he's not very liquid right now, Chappelle.
Right. He's got to sell some things, you know, but if I sold some things, I still wouldn't have $100. So let's just go ahead and call it what it is. But this little measly million ain't going to do it for Oso, because he needs to get out. And so Oso ends up, you know, saying that he's got the passport too. He's ready. Everybody is jumping ship. Everybody's ready.
Yeah. Time to get out of here.
Yeah. Because the CIA, they're saying, we're going to arrest you. When this is all said and done, we're going to get Franklin and then you're going to jail, bitch. And so Oso goes home and tells Yamara all about that. But not before he makes Franklin promise him one thing. He says, with all the confidence in the world, that he's going to kill him. And that's exactly what Oso wanted to hear. He wants Teddy dead. So when he goes home to Ziamara, he tells her, Tony of the CIA's plan is to shut this whole thing down, take him to jail. And when he's done with Franklin, he's getting locked up too. And so she's kind of at a pass where she's like, well, what do I do now? You know, and she had the opportunity to run and she wasn't down for it either.
Yeah. The people that don't want to run, I don't understand. Cause it's just like, they know where you live. They know where your kids go to school. They know where your mom lives. Like, these people know everything about you. Yeah. And at least on the run, you have some element of control, I guess, over like where you are, how long you're there. Maybe you don't have to look over your shoulder as much, especially if you go to a different country, I guess. Even though, I mean, like, it's not like the CIA doesn't have a stranglehold over every single country.
Yeah, where's Alton?
to be
determined.
It's a tough, it really is tough, I guess. Like, I can understand Ciamara in a way saying that she doesn't want to run, because she's already had her life so completely altered by this drug business that she's just like, I guess if I'm going to die, I'm going to die at home where I know like all my people are and all that. But I don't know. It seems like running is a better option.
Yeah, it's like, but how long do you run? You know, these people are between a rock and a hard place. And so I won't be too critical of their decisions.
No.
But when you have somebody who like Julia, who's like, okay, bye. Then you kind of start to reconsider some things about the way these people are making their choices. So that kind of wraps up like the cute little storylines. Like, we just touched on here, touched on there, but we know why y'all came here. This is the funeral. This is the repast. And so we have to honor the life, but we will do that right when we come back from these words from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, let's talk about Louie. Louie's at home, and she has not seen Jerome in weeks. I believe he's still wearing the clothes that he left in when he comes back completely sauced. I mean, he is sloppy drunk like LaTanya after that five-hour lunch. And so...
I was fine.
Oh, yeah, sure. So is he. So Jerome comes back drunk, but he has the right idea. Another person who's like, huh, why don't we run? And so
yeah,
Jerome says, I'm thinking Jamaica. You know, I'm fed up. I don't, and that sounds amazing. Wouldn't
that
you just have
great.
If you had the money that they have, the resources they have, and you could just go anywhere. LaTanya, I'd be in Jamaica so fast.
Oh, yeah. Jamaica, Barbados, the Virgin Islands. Like, are you kidding? Yes. Hawaii, even.
Yeah,
like, even. Anywhere. I agree with Jerome completely in this moment where he's like, I'm just going to go to the airport, buy a ticket to Kingston, and we're good. Like, we're out. This is it. But Louie is not ready to be out yet. Louie is the one who always wants more in the relationship. And she always has been that person. I mean, if it wasn't for Louie, then neither Franklin nor Jerome, you could argue, would be in this business in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about it, back when, before Louie stepped in and helped Franklin acquire the cocaine from her ex-girlfriend / boss, you know, she was the one who hooked him up because they were just selling weed. And so, you know, there's an argument to make to say that, you know, she helped rush them into this, but Franklin was looking for it. So it
with Franklin, it's a little bit different for sure.
But with Jerome, he was reluctant.
He was like, I don't mess with that white girl for a reason. Like it comes with too much heat. I'm not in any way excited about you helping him or excited about us getting involved in anything. Like, I just don't want to be involved in this.
Yeah.
And it took some wearing down for him to actually join the business.
Right. But LaTanya, when I watched this, it was at that moment that I knew he was going to die. The moment he said that way back in season one, you know, and he said, you know, we really shouldn't do this. I was like, oh, count the days. So, he's got the right idea. He's getting out of here. But Louie is reluctant. You know, he tells her, I stayed in this because I love you. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could give this up because you love me. And this is so sad to watch, but I mean, Joseph is acting his ass off.
I didn't even notice that wig. In this scene, that's how good the acting was. I was just like, I would follow you anywhere, Joseph.
Right, because he's got the money too. So
exactly.
So the next day, they talk it out. You know, he's not drunk anymore. So they sit down and have a real conversation. And Louie admits that she knew Franklin wouldn't be happy about her trying to, you know, get out of from under him and start her own stuff. But she didn't know Teddy was going to do all this stealing money and things like that. So she's been asking herself why she couldn't leave well enough alone. Like, what was it about her? She said, you know, that couldn't let the money, power, respect go. And honestly, she's not ready to let it go. She didn't have the money, power, respect. It was Jerome. Every time we saw this, we called it out. People have disrespected her left and right throughout the series. Whenever she's in charge, they look at Jerome for validation. Mm-hmm. They're always discounting her. And honestly, she says, having that, this feeling of I'm in charge is worth risking my life for. And so she's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we know about Louie's past has only kind of been alluded to and not said outright. But we know that there was a time in her life when she was a sex worker. And we know that she has had to work as hard as she possibly could to try to have a modicum of control over her situation and over her career and over her life. But, you know, that control came at a price as well, because you're right. Like, people weren't just looking to Jerome. People were actively being like, we don't want to hear what your opinion is, or I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the man here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure if her staying in the business any longer would have gotten her the respect that she wanted, honestly, because it's just it's the patriarchy. Like, I'm sorry about it, but that's just like misogyny noir, and we've got to deal with it.
Heavy on that noir as well, you know, because you know, this is she's oppressed in multiple ways, right? Yeah. You know, and so it's an uphill battle. But when she's at the top, when she has her bodyguard next to her, whether it's Jerome or Buckley, she does feel that power, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she's not ready to let it go. She's like, all right, well, you know, I wish you would reconsider and just give me some time, you know, give me money out of Panama.
Yeah, so we can make some moves. Look, everybody needs to get their money out of Panama.
Right.
For the love of God.
Yeah. Please carry cash, Lord. So
it's the 80s. Like, what are you doing?
Right. So, okay. So Scully ends up paging Louis about the drop, and Jerome agrees to do it for her. But he also tells her nothing has changed, and he cannot continue his life like this. He's leaving. Mm-hmm. So now, in case you forgot about last episode, Franklin alerted Louis's enemies that if she is going to get found and killed, they need to check out the horse stables. Honestly, this is a stressful life, but I don't mind Louis wanting to hang out at the horse stables, because if you're really rich, I feel like you should do rich people stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go. You know, pick up equestrian or something, you know?
Yeah. You should definitely be, I mean, like, that's the status symbol of old money, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know Louis from the South. So, like, she probably grew up riding horses. And now she just gets the opportunity to, like, own her own horse or horses and, like, ride them around at the stable. That's probably her, like, zen place. I love horses. So
me too.
I would be very, very happy if I got to do this whenever I wanted to. I'm with her on this one.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking at first, like, why are you out here just a target? And I was like, no, look, I didn't get rich to live in hiding and not have the cool stuff that rich people do. I want to be white. Yeah, goddamn it. You know what I'm saying?
I can't wait for someone to take that out of context.
Ain't nobody going to take that out of context. Look, we move on. But yeah, the white people get to do stuff like this. And then, you know, this
know.
What I'm not saying this will always happen when black people get to do stuff like this, but I ain't never rode no horse on command, you know what I'm saying? And with bodyguards,
right.
And with your little crop, you know? Like, when I ride horses, you might have a saddle, you know?
I know, yeah. Maybe. She has, like, a whole riding, like, uniform and everything. Her outfit is, that's her riding crop, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what she's there for, to ride.
You have to look the part, you know? Don't do this halfway. You didn't go get the money halfway, you know? So
yeah.
Be rich.
And all season long, really, Louis has been looking like richness.
Yes.
Like, she has looked so good. Like, the stylist on this show knew exactly what to do and, like, exactly what clothes to put her in. And she's just draped in furs and gold. And, like, it's so great. It's great. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to let go of this life either. But she shouldn't have let go of that horse, because gunshots start ringing.
Why did she get off the horse?
The horse made sure she got off.
I would have found that horse again. I was yelling, get back on the horse.
Get on the horse. Get back on the horse. Next thing you know, she's held at gunpoint. And well, it happened. Kane finally got Louis. And we see him holding her captive until Franklin can get there. Kane wants her to give up Buckley, but she knows her goose is cooked regardless. So what's the point? Okay, so over the course of the last few minutes of this episode, we see Louis refusing to give up Buckley, who we also see is probably, like, in a crack coma or something like that in the front seat of his car. He could be dead. And she's really just laying there, taking the ass whooping, getting threatened, getting branded to keep Buckley safe. She's gonna die anyway, but I kind of give her some credit for that one. She got some gangster in her.
I mean, there's something to be said for not being a snitch and like never ever backing down from that, regardless of the situation that you're in, especially if you know that you're dead already.
Yeah, and she's in a really bad spot here, because not only is Kane upset with her from that stuff, he's really upset because now things are rocky in his relationship. His girlfriend's hounding him. He's like, Louis, if you could just tell me this, then I can move on and we can fix my relationship. So come on, let me know what's been going on. But Louis is just not going to give in. So he goes back to his enhanced interrogation techniques.
Oh my God.
You know, he beating her ass. And I had to look away. It was bad.
This episode is so weird for a lot of reasons for me. This is the only episode of the season I have not rewatched, because it's kind of indelible, the images. Mm-hmm. And it's also very hard to watch because it is like trope central. Mm-hmm. When you take a woman, especially a black woman, and you put her in peril in a situation where she has been kidnapped, right? And then she is threatened with violence. Violence is done to her. She is threatened with sexual assault, and then it nearly occurs. Like, that is just trope after trope after trope. And like, I kind of wasn't feeling it. Like, I understand that this is probably something that's actually occurred and how it would have played out in real life. But I was like, do we really have to have this woman in this situation, and she's just going to have to be rescued by these men, and we have to spend the whole hour feeling the threat of like vicious sexual assault on her person? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot for an hour of television.
Yeah, most of this episode, I would say, was probably us assuming that she's not going to make it or going to get violated in the meantime. I think it could have done with a trigger warning, maybe, you know, because I mean, it gets really rape heavy, you know.
It very much does. Like, yeah. The way that, I know we'll get into this, but the way that they talk about it, just the language that's being used, is very triggering.
Yeah. And I mean, we want to talk about loquacious hoes. Kane can tell a good story, okay? So Franklin pulls up to the building at Kane's request because now he's got her. He's got Louie, and like, Franklin can now show up and kill her. So Franklin tells him to do it, but he doesn't. He says, let me talk to her. Well, first, yeah, he says, let me talk to her. Eventually, Kane will, you know, let them have that moment. But Kane, who we know is good for a soliloquy and a story, he talks about how his grandpa told him to brand cows because it's necessary to protect the family. And mm-hmm. in the background, we see the blowtorch going. And I'm thinking, oh, God.
Yeah.
She about to go through hell and back for sure.
Right.
And I'm somebody who's been branded, you know? And so I was like, I have a brand.
Oh,
and
right. I forgot that was a cue thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, ooh. But they left hers on a little bit longer than they left mine on for, you know?
I mean, yeah. Like, first of all, this blowtorch situation was meant for intimidation. Mm-hmm. Like, that Abby thing jumping. Was cranked up as high as it could possibly go. And to the point where the flame was just, like, burning, like, searing yellow. It was terrifying. And I think that everybody's performances were really, really great. Angela Lewis is always amazing. Mm-hmm. But especially in this scene where she just kind of screams to the point where her scream gives out almost. Yeah. It's too real. It's like watching Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay, I'm following.
It's really scary to be interrogated, and I hope that that's something I never have to deal with.
Yeah, but Brandon, getting branded wasn't so bad. You know, well, for me. No, she's going through something else. She ends up with a K branded on the middle of her chest.
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay, this is horrible. And then I start to think, she's kind of getting Jesse Pinkman here. You remember like that last few episodes of Breaking Bad where he's just like being captured and just tortured for the sake of torture?
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to keep you as a pet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Pinkman a verb now? I think it is now.
It must be.
Yeah.
We just made it one.
Yeah.
No, she's definitely getting Pinkmaned. And, but it's just like, I don't want to say that there's more weight to it because she's a woman, but there's more weight to it because she's a woman.
100%, because there were things that they would do to Jesse and Louie, but there are things that they would do to Louie and not do to Jesse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. So this is when Louie ends up talking to Franklin, and her first words are basically like, you did this to me. Like, you got me into this mess. and I laughed so hard because I was like, I mean, kind of, but I mean, are we really going to bring up old stuff like this?
Well, I mean, nobody would have like known about the stable though. Like, she knows where that comes directly from Franklin. Cause like, it's basically just her bodyguards and Jerome that know about the stable other than Franklin. So that definitely, he is the cause that she is in that chair.
Right. That's like, he definitely did it. And now he's standing at her, looking at her almost in with pity, a little like a fear in his eyes, a little bit I'm seeing. But she, like I said, a gangster, she offers to give up Teddy. But at this point, Franklin doesn't need her. He's already got his own plan. He doesn't need anybody to give up Teddy. Mm-hmm. And so he leaves her for dead or for worse. But does Louis have a point? Did Franklin, like, leaving her for dead, like, is this like the lowest point in their relationship?
Yes.
Easily, right?
Yeah, because, how could it not be?
Because she, like, well, they've been trying to kill each other for so long. And then to actually get her in a situation where she might like suffer a fate worse than death.
Right.
I bet she wish she had got shot. There's a moment where she even screams, shoot me. Just kill me.
Just kill me and get it over with. Yeah. I mean, the idea that he would see his like aunt that he's loved for his whole life in this situation and be offered the opportunity to take care of it and then just be like, no, do whatever it is that you were planning on doing and walk away. Like, part of me was like, there's no way that he's not going to come back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that Franklin is essentially heartless at this point, but maybe he hasn't gotten right to that line. He won't cross that line where he will, like, knowingly allow the abuse and torture of his favorite auntie. And part of it, you have to imagine, was just him putting on a good enough show for Kane and the other guys that were there so that he could make it out okay to go get reinforcements.
Yeah, I kind of felt like when they asked Franklin to kill Louis, I felt like that was Franklin not being able to pull the trigger. You know, he didn't say, you know, like, oh, he didn't try, basically. He just kind of like, no, you got it. And so I thought, you know, in my head, maybe he just can't bring himself to be the one to do it. But then he finds out what's about to happen to her and he leaves, but you can see it while he's driving that it's just, it's weighing on him. Right. And eventually he just gives in and he just starts, you know, paging Jerome, 911, paging Jerome, and Jerome is not calling him back.
Yeah. Because why would you, after the last conversation that they had,
that part,
you know, like, I don't know what a 911 would constitute. And I don't want to get set up either. So
yeah. And Franklin has nowhere else to turn, really, except to Leon, who is getting his hair braided. like, you know, this is kind of my kind of content.
For some reason, because Leon's braids were perfect the last time we saw him.
He just like a fresh wee twist, you know, every now and then. Yeah. Like, you, the boss of the project, you just kind of have like a stylist on hand. So we also walk into a conversation with Leon, trying to establish a hood council for the projects so that they can govern themselves with little violence. He wants to establish rules and regulations.
Oh my gosh.
He hasn't even restocked the product yet. He's like, I'm not putting out any more weight until we all have agreed to the terms and conditions, have signed your employee manual, have, you know, did you do your benefits package?
Right.
We're not doing anything until we got everybody covered. And I was laughing so hard at this.
He really needs an HR manager so he doesn't have to do it all himself.
Yeah, as long as it's not Franklin, because we saw what happened with that time Franklin went in to clean some stuff up.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That was hilarious to me. The setting of it with him getting his hair braided was great. The fact that he was just like sitting on a throne in the middle of the courtyard with like his vassals all around him trying to decide, you know, what they need for the Hood Council.
Yeah.
Was that's quality content. I am very worried about Wanda. I'm worried about him too.
Yeah. I've been worried about Wanda for a very long time. I will say it right now. I thought she was gone a long time ago. I don't know how she manages to, man, she is a resilient, you know, she did that. I just, woo, you know, cause I've been thought she was going to die. So to see her here still at his side, it's pretty cool. We watch, you know, Leon holding court basically, and people are coming to him and saying like, oh, this is what we want to do. He's like, nope, I can't do it, you know, we're going to run it by the council, we're going to follow the correct avenues, and we're going to get this stuff done. But he's called aside because Franklin is on the phone and he needs him. He sounds stressed out, and this is when it's all starting to go to hell, you know, because Franklin asked Leon to page Jerome and let him know what's up. And then all of a sudden, Jerome is pulling up, ready for the fight. But he didn't pull up to the right location. He pulled up to a completely different location, which is a good move from my perspective, because a gunfight just doesn't seem like the way to get your hostage wife out of this situation. No. I don't know. Could be wrong. Maybe something will happen at the end of the episode to change my mind. I don't know. But Also, because Franklin didn't want them to know that he was the one who dropped dime on them. So this is the first time we've seen Franklin and Jerome since that conflict, like in the same area. And I don't know, the tension was so real. Like, even when Jerome is just holding the gun to his head, like, he could have just killed him then. I just don't know if all these people who keep setting people up to die have that in them to pull the trigger on their loved one.
They clearly don't. I think we learned from this episode that they do not. Like, if that was the case, then as cold-blooded as we know Franklin to be, he really would have just left Louis there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, he has not, I mean, he's had a gun before to Jerome. And I know there were a lot of witnesses, so he probably didn't do it because of that reason. But no, I don't think they have it in them to actually, like, deal with the guilt, that the constant guilt that would come from knowing that they took the life of a family member.
Yeah. All that bluffing is for nothing. Because if you think about it, if Franklin did kill Jerome, how do you go back to your mama?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
You it can't. Ain't happening. You can't.
Yeah, that's it. It's over. You know, so like, he, Jerome kind of got like a shield in that matter from Franklin, at least, because you're not going to kill your mom's brother, are you?
No, you're not.
Exactly. And to be fair, uncle ain't going to kill Franklin. So it's just what it is. And also, he knows Franklin is the only one who can help save Louis because he knows where they're at and all that stuff. So Kane and the jailhouse dudes are throwing a function, if you will. I'll call it a train turn up because it's like a mixer, but then like to do unspeakable things to somebody, you know? And so these are some
a
sick
train
individual
turn up.
Yeah, I thought, like, you know, was tasteless. So
oh no.
Yeah,
we're definitely putting a trigger warning on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna bleep that.
You're gonna get rid of that for sure.
but yeah, oh, that's gonna be fun to bleep it. I've never bleeped anything before. So yeah, this is bad. And he's brought in the sickest individuals that we've seen on the show so far.
Oh my god!
Minus that one guy who raped that guy in the first.
Yeah, season. That was terrible.
Woo. Okay.
That, oh my god.
Yeah. Matter of fact, he was getting the Louis treatment a little bit. So yeah. He sends this pimp in, a pimp named Percy, to survey this new potential quote-unquote bottom bitch. And, okay, so he's got his curly hair. You know the story with, you know, the perm and all that stuff, because, you know, back then the pimps were like, you know, your girl can't look flyer than you, so you got to have your hair did.
Your
all
hair
that
did
stuff.
All the time.
Yeah, to the nines, if you will.
He got, like, Shirley Temple curls.
Yeah, it was bouncing and behaving. You know, the conditioner he used.
Hair was beautiful.
It really was. So Franklin returns, and the guards just let him in without checking the car.
Yeah. just dummies, you know?
Well, they do say when he drives up, you remember what happened to the last guy who didn't do what he said? That man's face looked like, what did he say?
The back of a Nestle Crunch bar.
Yeah.
That got me. That took me out. I had to pause for a minute to, like, laugh at that joke.
Yeah, in the hood, they call him Star Crunch now, you know. So, yeah, one guard decides to leave, but the other one is standing outside the gate looking rabid. You know, he's dying to get in there. He's giving, like, that junior trying to pop in on Ebony's bachelor party. I mean, at his bachelor party type feel. Like, he's kind of, you can see him getting antsy out there.
He's really
because
antsy.
He's really excited for his moment. I was just like, I need better for my people.
I
know.
Just I just,
all around.
I was just the one guy who was like, honestly, like, you want to do this with, like,
on
a
purpose?
Woman who's, like, crying and everything? Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm going to go to the store.
And he said, abso-fucking-lutely. That's why I came here.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great at all.
Not great.
Yeah, so a pimp named Percy approaches Louie to check her out, and you can tell she's been put through the ringer at this point. So she's gone from being handcuffed on the floor to being branded in the chair to now she looks like, I mean, everything imaginable has happened to her, well, almost. And she's a tough one because she still hasn't given up Buckley, the same Buckley who is in a crack coma in the car and nowhere to be found. So the crooked cop with a coke problem being your head henchman is a wild move, to say the least, right?
Sometimes, you know, you got to make the best of what you have available.
Oh my God, Louis, you have to do better, baby.
Especially what they say after... about lemons.
Anyway, moving on.
Sometimes that lemonade tastes like it has crack in it. It's so good.
Right. Shout out to Gucci Mane. So now she's all alone. Louis is there. She's tied to the chair and she's trying to negotiate her way out of it. I mean, she is rich. So she does try to bribe him. But
good call.
But these people don't care about money. It ain't about the money. It's literally about breaking her down and putting her on the payroll. He's trying to pimp her out. And Latanya, I felt my stomach turn when he said this. Just kill her.
Yeah. Like, honestly, what is wrong with people?
Yeah.
The fact that this was in the episode, I was like, do we have to? Like, I understand. Like, I will go where Snowfall takes me, but I really don't want to go here.
Yeah. And we, you and I specifically have felt this way about, you know, other properties that we've watched. I remember even watching Game of Thrones thinking, okay, you can allude to somebody getting it, but you don't have to show it happen.
Please don't show it happen. And then show it from the perspective of another man who's like just there.
Yeah. And it's just like, just know people are watching this and just trying to enjoy television and they're not at home, you know? It's a show about gun violence and stuff like that, so you do expect to have some level of this, but that's a different type of, you know, feeling, I think, if you bring it up, rape.
It's a very different episode than I think, other than that one episode in season one, which was brutal in and of itself, and I was surprised when they went there then. Like, I mean, I never really got the bad taste out of my mouth from like that episode. So now to see this, like, I don't know, maybe this could just be me. This could be thrilling television to a lot of people. But like, I don't need rape storylines in my fiction anymore. Mm-hmm. I just don't need them. I don't know why that needs to be a part of the collective imagination. Am I denying that rape occurs? Absolutely not. And we should believe women, but we don't need all of the like explicit talk and imagery that this episode had with regards to scaring a beloved character on the show. You know, like that brings up a whole lot for a whole lot of people for a reason.
It really does. And I get what they were doing. You know, this is definitely the era of ain't no fun if your homies can't have none, you know. So I'm not shocked that they showed it and portrayed it. But I just, you know, we spent so much time toying with the idea. Like, so we're going to run a train or no? You know, what are we doing here? You know, and then they're surveying her.
Right. Talking about the men that had been in prison for a long time and how they were going to call them down there. Like you said, and you're going to continue saying they're surveying her.
They want to know what they're working with. And I think they're just playing with their food in a way, you know,
definitely.
They know she can't go nowhere. And so she starts to do what Louis does best. And she starts talking a good game here. So when a pimp named Percy tries to like start to, you know, pleasure himself watching her in this state of just, you know, abuse and, you know, she looks miserable. She looks horrible. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh yeah, this is what gets me going.
Right.
And she goes, oh, okay, I get it. You too were a trick. I used to live that life. I think I know your work. You know, she starts bringing up stuff like, yeah, I think, was it your mom or your sister? Which one of them pimped you out? Because I'm getting a little something. I'm getting a little vibe from you.
Right.
And it doesn't work. He calls her a loquacious hoe and disregards everything she says. Latanya, he has one goal.
He has one goal.
Yeah.
It's horrifying because with what Louis is saying, you're like, oh, finally, like maybe she's gonna get to him. And then he's like, gonna have to do better than that. And basically it's just like water off the back, does not care whatsoever. And I was just like, damn it, is nothing gonna work on this curly haired bastard? Like, what are we gonna have to do?
He came here to pimp, okay? And so that's what he's not leaving here until he's established his pimp supremacy. So when Franklin gets to the function, because we know he comes back and he's got, you know, Jerome and the goons outside, you know, kind of setting up, he can hear Louis yells coming from the other room, you know, like in a Pulp Fiction type situation, you know. And it's over the loud music. She is screaming.
Yes.
And I looked away for 1 second. I mean, 1 second. I probably just flinched or something. Next thing I know, Franklin Wick Saint is back and he is shooting. He is shooting. Everybody's over here, open fire. And for a second, it looks like this is going to go well for a second. But then we end up with the standoff with Kane and Louis. Now, as you know, I was spoiled on the episode, so I knew this was not going to end well. But I think, you know, the untrained eye could have fell for this.
Right.
Because we have a hostage situation. Of course, Kane wants to negotiate now because he's the one who's probably in the most danger. Because even if he kills Louis, he's going to die. He doesn't make it out of there alive with Louis dead. It's going to be really hard for him to make it out alive with her alive, too. So,
yes.
Yeah, so he throws that idea like, hey, how about we just leave and just do, you know, go and we'll renegotiate this later on. We don't have to do this. But it's too late. Jerome has decided what they're going to do, and it's have a shootout. And, yeah, not often in media do we see, like, this moment with a shootout and the good, like, the person you're rooting for loses. You know?
Right. So
a lot of times you get, like, they might get a good headshot in over the person's shoulder or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. Right in the chest. This most gut-wrenching, gut-wrenching scene, you know?
Yeah, and it's made all the worse by a couple different things that happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Joseph is just laying there motionless. Angela Lewis is on top of him, screaming for him to get up, right? Screaming for him to wake up. And there's that anguished funeral scream. I know you know, like, what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's guttural.
Guttural, you
know, it's not a scream. It's like your body's trying to get out, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that's it. Yeah, seriously. And that's what we get for, like, a good 3 to 5 minutes from her, which is so hard. And I can't even imagine how many times they had to, like, film these scenes and from how many different angles. That's exhausting work. But then we get Franklin coming in and being like, unk, and no response, of course. And he tries to process it. And then we have Leon on the ground, like on his knees crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like all of these characters that we've come to love so much. One of them, like, is on the ground dead, and the rest of them are mourning this person's death. Even to the point where they're not trying to hurry up and get the hell out of there because they don't know who Kane might have that might want to come back and, like, you know, finish everybody else. It's just, and I was like, surely there's a scene after this scene that will not leave us on this note, but nope, that is how the episode ends.
Yeah, it would have been really nice to tie this up with a bow and have, you know, Leon and Louis and Franklin all kind of in a huddle and being like, okay, you know, like, now we gonna do XYZ. But but nope, they left us like this. And by killing one of our antagonists and one of our main characters, we really don't know what's next for Louis at all.
No.
Because I'm assuming at this point she gets out of the drug trade, right? Like,
some people can be led to getting out of the drug trade. Some people can double down because they want revenge on whomever for the death of, like, even though the person who killed him is dead, like, that's not how they see it. Like, they'll find a larger system to blame or someone else to blame.
Yeah, well, Louis, the call is coming from inside the house. This is largely your fault. You know, it's not completely your fault, but if you're looking for the person to get revenge on, you, Leon, and Franklin can all go. You know, like, all three of y'all are probably complicit in this because nobody said this is a bad idea. And so so here we are. We're at the end of this gut-wrenching episode. And do you want to eulogize the character Jerome for us? Because I don't think I've seen many characters like him in modern television.
Yeah, no, neither have I. I mean, sure. Thank you to Amin Joseph for bringing us this character of Jerome Saint. Like, we just instantly, you know, we meet him and we instantly kind of understand who he is in the family. Like, I feel like everybody has an uncle like that.
Yeah.
Who is just kind of there for you. may not always like keep you away from the vices that they should, but it's just generally like a cool person that you could go to when you can't go to your mom about something. You know what I mean? And who is like there for you and loves you unconditionally and would do anything for you. He has always been that person up until last season, really, for Franklin, when they decided to kind of go to war with each other. But he has always been that person. He's always been that, like, kind of, in a lot of ways, angel on Franklin's shoulder, where Louis was a little bit of the devil on his shoulder, telling him, you know, we're just dealing weed. Like, that's not as big of a deal. If you start selling cocaine, then you have the federal government involved. And always saying, like, maybe we should just take what we have and get out. Like, Jerome was fine when he got his speaker store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that that's the level of good that he wanted from life. But then he had Louis and Franklin always encouraging them to do more and more and more. But, I mean, he was an uncle. He was a brother. He was a husband. Just an all-around reliable dude. And his screen presence is so huge. Like, he just takes up so much space. Like, he's just going to be missed. Like, I'm going to, some of the funniest lines in this show came from Jerome, you know? Yeah.
Was it where the bitches at? Or what was the question? I believe it's something like that. Definitely made me laugh. Yeah. Gone, but not forgotten. Jerome is added to the list of the homies in the Gangsta Lean. And so that's it. Yeah, that is it. Yeah. So, LaTanya, we have a few more episodes. I mean, this was episode 6. We have four more episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're coming to an end. Are you getting nervous now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this episode, I was like, okay, so they're killing people now. Like, this is the end of this show. Like, we're going to start, like, the body count's going to go up in each episode, I think.
Yeah, oh, it definitely should. If we come out of this with our main characters alive, something went wrong. Because I'm not sure if people like this are supposed to survive something like this, you know?
Yeah. So,
but that is yet to be seen. We'll just have to wait until we see what happens on the next episode, episode 7, The Price of Freedom. But until then, LT, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me doing a lot of podcasts right now. in addition to this, we've got we are your connect to Swarm. Yes, that's right, everybody. We are podcasting about Swarm. We are doing it. Mari Forth and I released the preview to the show, as well as a podcast about the first episode. So the next podcast will be covering episodes 2 and 3, and Chappelle and I are going to make time to do that very soon. So just wait for those to come out. They'll be on the general connect feed as well. I am so close to being done podcasting about You, the Netflix show.
I heard it got renewed for another season.
It
you know.
Just got renewed for another season today as we record this on a Friday. So, one more season of Joe and his terrible shenanigans left. I am doing a new season of Versus with Josh Wigler. And this season we are doing Succession versus Yellow Jackets, because it is eat or be eaten in both arenas. So that is something you should stick around for and take a look at. I am covering The Mandalorian. We are doing a feedback show each week where you all write in, you tell us what you think, and we talk about it with DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick. So that'll record on Sunday, as well as Top Chef. Which I'm doing with the RHAP crew. Normally it's me and Haley and Kurt, but Kurt's going to be out of town for a couple weeks. So I think our special guest this coming week is going to be Asia. So I'm really excited. I'll be recording 2 podcasts with Asia this week. I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, that's about it for me. For all the things I can announce now, if you want to figure out what I'm doing or, like, see what I'm tweeting about, you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, and you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. Chappelle, what are you up to?
I don't think I'm up to as much as you right now, which is a surprise because really? normally, I'm like, I got two or three plugs. Latanya probably got two or three plugs, but Latanya, I think you had 50, 60 plugs. This is a lot of plugs. Yeah, 67. So, of course, I'm going to post show recaps right here talking about Abbott Elementary with Gia Worthy. Every other week, we drop another podcast to talk about this second season of Abbott, and it's about to come to a close, too. They took a couple weeks hiatus, and so I think they're doing it for, like, the Easter holidays and stuff like that. So they took a couple breaks, and so there's three more episodes of Abbott. That means there's two more podcasts left, so check that out on Abbott Elementary, a post show recap. I'm also on Post Show Recaps recapping Bel Air with Puya on Bel Air, a Post Show Recap. And so we're about a little closer to the beginning of season two of Bel Air, on Peacock. And Puya and I are having a great time. So check that out over there. I'm still covering Grey's Anatomy on my podcast series with Ariel called Grey's Anatomy's Anatomy. So if you're a fan of Grey's, the good old Grey's, you know, back in the day, then check that out. Whenever we drop an episode, we probably drop like one a month. So it's nothing too hard to keep up with. And then this week, of course, nothing but Netflix, as usual, over on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. Myself and my co-host, Rob Sesternino, are talking about Netflix shows every week. Last week, we talked about Outlast, which is a bunch of white people in the woods trying to outlast each other. And then they decide halfway through, what if we just start to sabotage each other? And so, yeah, it's pretty interesting, and it's exactly how it sounds. So go check that out on Nothing But Netflix. You can listen to us talk about it. You don't even have to watch the show. And speaking of Nothing But Netflix, it was nothing but mess this week on Mess Magnets because I went and subbed in for Kirsten McInnes when she was out. So I joined Sasha on Mess Magnets to talk about recent pop culture and a bunch of celebrity drama and blah, 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 blah over on Rob Has a Podcast. And you can find me tweeting out all the links to the episodes that I'm talking about by following me on Twitter at @Chappelle_show. But that about wraps everything up. For LaTanya, for Mari, who's not here, and for me, we will talk to you all next week, and we can be bought. Later. Peace.